Support for GPB comes from our generous listeners and the Fox Center for Humanistic Inquiry at Emory University, presenting the Elman Lectures in Modern Literature with pachinko author Min Jin Lee, March 1st through 3rd. Complimentary tickets at elman.emory.edu.
Coming up in this episode,
imagine the Scarlets as the 1% of their day.
Writing about my family and uncovering the ugly truths of that family.
Man, I will say, this book, more than any other book I've read about the Civil War through this podcast, made it real, made it tangible for me today.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB. I'm Orlando Montoya.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. Orlando, let me tell you about a New Year's resolution that I'm actually sticking to.
And it involves books, I hope.
It does, but in a kind of roundabout way. So this year, I figured I'm just going to take social media apps off my phone.
No Facebook, no Twitter.
No Facebook. I stopped using Twitter a long time ago when the content moderation just got awful. But Instagram, I never really kept on my phone anyway. It's Reddit has always been the time suck for me because there's always something interesting about the things I'm already interested in. And, you know, you could lose hours just scrolling. I mean, this is 2026. We know this about social media. And I was like, all right, I just got to take this off my phone and just let my brain heal a little bit. And so far it's working, you know, as of late January, I'm not re-adding it. I use Facebook periodically for work purposes. Like, you just sent me a weather thing the other day that I had to use to report on something. But other than that, I've kept it off. And the benefits is that my brain is truly healing. Like, I can focus on things.
And you can read more books.
And that's exactly what it is, right? So in the morning, instead of, you know, picking up my phone and just doing the easy thing, right? Like popping onto Reddit and like seeing what's interesting. I actually finished a book that I started way back last summer during my parental leave. And that's a pleasure reading. Like, it's not for work, it's just for fun. And when I was done with that, I started up on some work reading, quote unquote work reading. And that's one of the books that I had to read for this podcast. The book we're talking about today, in fact.
Well, I seriously curtailed my social media a year ago this month. So you're going in the right direction.
Did that happen to you as well for reading purposes? Like, did you start reading more because you were off these apps?
I started doing everything more. But yeah, I'm able to not focus my mind on what I'm going to put on Facebook if I don't have to post there. So it just frees a lot of mind space. And so hopefully that leads us to a book with Georgia connections for this podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Like, instead of social media, to some extent, I was reading this book that we're talking about today, which is called Scarlet, Slavery's Enduring Legacy in an American Family. And it's by Leslie Stainton. Now, she's a Fulbright recipient, former lecturer at University of Michigan Residential College in creative nonfiction. So she lives in Michigan. She's not living in Georgia, but she's got family roots in Georgia. This book is all about how her family in Georgia is this repository of a history of basically enslaving Black people.
And so we have another book about slavery and the Civil War. I mean, we've done a lot of this.
Yeah, to recap, right? We did one about, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea and how freed Black people in Georgia joined the Union Army on the way. We had a book that you read, I believe, Ilyan Wu, Master Slave, Husband, Wife.
Very which was first Narrative Edge episode.
Yeah, a fictional account. We recently did a biography of Senator Charles Sumner, who's from Massachusetts, but was a huge abolitionist, and that's how he made his mark.
And we do it because it's important for today. It serves today's purpose, but it also, you know, fits what we've been doing.
Yeah, it's definitely like something that's important to talk about. If you're in Georgia, like, the history's there and it's present. I will say there was another book that we did about this time last year by David Levering Lewis called The Stained Glass Window. And it's almost like something to read in companion, in concert with this one, because, you know, Leslie Stainton is writing about her family and her family's history as owners of enslaved people. And David Levering Lewis's book is about his family who were enslaved. And some of the same names pop up in these in this book in the sense that, you know, there are connections to famous Georgia plantation owners who owned a ton of people. So those people are sort of hard to avoid when you're writing about the legacy of slavery in Georgia.
And so where do we start with this book? How do we set the scene?
Okay.
Where and who?
Yeah, let's set the table. So Leslie Stanton is a descendant of the Scarlets. That's where the name of this book comes from. She's got a whole family tree spelled out in the first few pages of this book. Readers would benefit from referring to that family tree when they're reading this book. I'm going to simplify that for the sake of this podcast, right? Because we don't have that to look at while we're talking about this. Maybe listeners are driving right now. They can't look at it. So we're just going to keep it as simple as possible. But for the sake of simplicity, let's just imagine the Scarlets as the 1% of their day, right? They didn't start that way when they came to the United States. They started low on the rankings, but they worked their way up to becoming sort of the elite of the slave-owning South. Like, most people in the South did not own slaves when it was legal in this country. And the people that did, for the most part, owned maybe 10. And the Scarlets owned hundreds.
So, and we're talking Midlands Coast where?
We're talking the coast, kind of the Brunswick area, the Darien area, that kind of area.
And so past to present, how does she bring it forward? How does she go from this big family tree to today?
Man, I will say this book, more than any other book I've read about the Civil War through this podcast, made it real, made it tangible for me today. And the biggest way that that she does this is through the story of Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, we've heard about Ahmaud Arbery.
Is he a descendant?
No, he's not a descendant. He was the black man who was killed by three white men in Brunswick in 2020. And it took a while for the law enforcement to do anything and arrest the men who were later convicted of his murder. Leslie Stanton knew she had family land in Brunswick many, many years ago.
When it happened, I mean, it was in Brunswick, so I knew there must be some, you know, could be a connection to my family. And then the more I read about it, I realized, oh my God, Arbery lived in an area called Fancy Bluff, which was one of the plantations or slave labor camps that my family owned. And then he was actually killed in Satilla Shores. And that was land that used to be a Scarlet plantation. And so, and once again, you know, the people who killed him were trying to protect their homes.
And that last line there, trying to protect their homes, is particularly evocative.
I've heard that phrase. Why is it so evocative?
Well, let's go back to another part of this book. You've heard of Gone with the Wind, the book by Margaret Mitchell.
No.
Of course you have, right? So, well, Gone with the Wind presents this myth, right, of the glory days of the South when white people owned black people and presented the myth alongside that, which is that black people liked this arrangement, that they were well treated, that they were happy and loyal to the white families that owned them. That was a fiction that basically everybody knew. Well, in that novel, Margaret Mitchell's fictional Tarleton twins, I don't know if you've read the book. I haven't read the book. This is how it is presented to me in Scarlet. Have you read the book?
Of course, but it's been many years.
Okay. Is it required reading in the South?
I don't know. It's required reading.
I grew up in the North. We were not required to read this book. anyway, Tarleton twins, for those who remember this book, described to me through this book, Scarlet, is that they have this group called the Clayton Wildcats in Georgia's Clayton County. They do it the day Georgia secedes. They form this book the day Georgia secedes from the Union. And it's designed to basically fight Yankees and keep enslaved people in their place. In the novel, the gang is kind of toothless. If they perpetrate violence, you don't see it or hear about it. But in real life, Leslie Stanton's family, Frank Scarlet, forms a group called the Satilla Wildcats. So the Wildcats thing is pretty wild, this coincidence. And they write to Georgia's governor asking for recognition from the state because the letter says they have double barrel guns and are ready to protect our homes.
And so protect our homes means really protect the white people being able to subject the black people.
That's exactly what it is, right? Like and when this is pointed out, like, it's hard to see the Ahmaud Arbery murder as an isolated incident, that it's in the context of this brutal history.
And so speaking of Gone with the Wind, you might know that one of the characters' names is Scarlett. So is there a coincidence between Scarlett O'Hara and the Scarlett in this book?
No, it is actually not a coincidence at all. I interviewed Leslie Stainton, as we do for all the authors that we profile on Narrative Edge, and here's what she told me about that.
I was going to say Margaret Mitchell was aware of our family and responded to a letter from one of our family members about using the Scarlett name. She was absolutely aware of us, that they were major enslavers in the Georgia coast. So it's sort of, you know, my working with that book, that famous novel, is not just sort of capricious. I mean, there really was a connection between her with her family.
And so getting back to Gone with the Wind, how does she use Gone with the Wind in her? Does she just obliquely refer to it?
Oh, no. She comes back to it time and again because for a few reasons. Because, you know, as we mentioned, Gone with the Wind is kind of an encyclopedia of all these myths about how great slavery was for everybody involved. And she points out a few times where, you know, like she remembers as a teenager watching the movie and seeing the character in the movie, the enslaved woman who's well-fed and loyal, when in fact, you know, she uncovers evidence that on Scarlet slave labor camps, no one was well-fed. Like, people were starving. Like, well, that's not true. That's not what happened back then.
They were trying to save money by starving the people.
Right, right. They give them bare minimum just to help them do the work that they were forcing them to do. So that's just one of them. I mean, she goes back in time to talk about Gone with the Wind and Margaret Mitchell in general as also Margaret Mitchell being a contemporary of her grandmother.
So it's not just history of the family. It's sort of like memoir?
Yeah, yeah. It talks a little bit about Leslie Stainton's own growing up. I mean, she grew up in Pennsylvania. She made a few trips to Georgia as a child where she encountered the culture shocks that you might imagine coming down to the Jim Crow South in the 60s. And she also talks a bit about her grandmother, who is a major figure in this book for how much she doesn't say, right? Like, her grandmother would have been a contemporary of Margaret Mitchell, grown up at about the same time. We know a lot more about how Margaret Mitchell feels, however. Her grandmother, not so much. She never talked about the ugly history of the Scarlett family, at least not with Leslie Stainton. But she did preserve a lot of family letters, and she was constantly in correspondence with other family members. Genealogy was a thing she sort of quietly researched and kept records on. And that was the kind of stuff that was passed on to Leslie Stainton, who is drawing on this stuff for this important story. And she talked to me a little bit about why she thinks it's an important story to tell.
And so I'm just, in any case, I felt that writing about my family and uncovering the ugly truths of that family could be one more step towards, in some ways it's a bit of a reparation, just bringing the information out and allowing particularly Black people to get the names and get the histories of their ancestors, because so much of that is completely buried.
So we have a lot of families that have stories. What gives this book that narrative edge?
Well, I think Leslie Stainton brings incredible research to bear on this. And the fact that it was such a large family, a large, powerful family, I think means a lot for the historical record to have this actually written down. She's very good at interrogating her own biases to the extent that she has them. And she admits that we all have them. She goes out on a limb. I mean, in that clip we just heard, going out on a limb and saying this is a form of reparations. I mean, people might say, how dare you, you know, as a white person deciding what the reparations should be. But I feel like she does a good job of bringing history into the present to the extent that she can and naming names and telling the truth that her family hadn't told for more than 100 years now.
Well, if she's naming names, she's naming names on the white people's side as well. I mean, did she get the buy-in from the descendants?
She did, actually. She talked a lot with family members that she could locate. She meets with them and is still in contact with them, as far as I can tell. She calls a man who is doing similar research, and I asked her what that was like in the case of Edward. His name is Edward, and it's a man that she actually apologized to on behalf of her family.
So I was apprehensive about talking to Ed, but I was so touched that he was so kind and gentle. And then shortly after that, I mean, very quickly in that conversation, we got down to sort of business. Like, he was doing a lot of genealogical research into his family. I've been doing a lot of genealogical research into my family, and we were able to start sharing data that we had collected. And he showed me pictures. He shared pictures. And some of them are actually in my book that he very graciously allowed me to use.
So, yeah, I think this book would have fallen flat if she had not included those people in the narrative and made sure that they were spoken to and that they're represented in some way. I mean, I always think about this line that I heard about, you know, nothing about us without us is for us. And that certainly applies here. Like, if she had done this just by looking at these letters and staying closed up in her office and not talking to anybody else, like, it would have been a complete navel-gazing kind of project, but that's not what it was. She points out so many things, I think, that make a lot of sense to present day. I mean, there's a Frank Scarlett Federal Building in Brunswick, her family, you know, named after a man who promoted separate but equal facilities. I mean, that's in part why he was honored that way, because the powers that be at the time wanted that to be the law of the land. To point that out and to say, wow, I'm looking at this, but in 2026 and the history that goes along with it, that's why, for me, it became such an important and present kind of historical account. And there are other examples, too. I don't want to steal those away from the reader. I think they're worth discovering in this book, which is, I think, really well told and sensitively done.
Well, I feel that since I spent so much time on the coast that I might learn something new about things that I knew from back then. But I do appreciate you talking to me about it. It's been great.
Yeah, happy to talk about it.
The book is called Scarlett, Slavery's Enduring Legacy in an American Family by Leslie Stainton.
Support for GPB comes from our generous listeners and the Fox Center for Humanistic Inquiry at Emory University, presenting the Elman Lectures in Modern Literature with pachinko author Min Jin Lee, March 1st through 3rd. Complimentary tickets at elman.emory.edu.